So the very first thing that I want you to take out of that bag is the piece of material that's on top. Yeah. This is called a stole, and this was made for me by my internship fellowship down in Port Townsend, Washington. And just last Sunday, they gave it to me. And I'm, yeah. It's really beautiful. I think it's a work of art. So what is traditionally done in the first service? You have to look and listen at the same time or we'll be here all morning. What is traditionally done on a first service with a new minister is introduction. I'm going to introduce myself to you, tell you a little bit about me. And because it's also the last service of your church year and we're all sort of thinking a little bit about next year, so we can put that over the table here now. I'm going to have a few things to say about what we could be doing together next year. So the next thing that I want you guys to find in there is a black rectangle. Yes, that's what that is. You want to open that up and show everybody. This is my Master's in Divinity that I received in the mail last week. Whoa. 15 years in the making and an awful lot of money that went into that. I started my journey to become a minister when my children were 4 and 6. Is there anybody here who's 4? No? Anybody here who's 6? No? Okay. Anybody was 4? Anyway, I began my journey as a lay chaplain at the Vancouver Church in Vancouver, obviously. And it was through that work that I realized that I love the work of ministry and that maybe I might be capable of doing it. I was a single mother at the time. I was working as a freelance acting instructor when I enrolled in the Vancouver School of Theology. And I did that for 2 years, and I completed a diploma in Christian studies. But it became clear that juggling work and children and school was a little bit too much, even for me. So I decided that I wanted to be the best mother I could be rather than be a minister at that particular time. So I did that. I became the best mother I could be to Casey and Lucy, and I think there's a picture. You see a picture frame in there? Right? So there's actually 4 young adults, teenagers in this picture, and Lucy and Casey are in the middle, and the other 2 are dear family friends, and we all grew up together. That's Luke and Celia, the other 2. So I spent my days, thank you, we can just put that on the table here. I spent my days working at the Vancouver Film School, and of course my nights and weekends with Casey and Lucy. Now, the Vancouver Film School, there's a tag, there's a red thing, red tag in there, necklace sort of thing at the bottom. Can you see it? You'll find it. Anyway, this represents the Vancouver Film School, where I worked for almost 20 years developing one of their programs down there. These are the modern-day keys that get you into these modern buildings. It was a tremendous faculty to work with. Passionate, creative, and very respectful and caring of each other. And it was sad when I left them. I think they were a wonderful example of what shared ministry is, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. Well, I did this for a few years, and then one day, a dear friend of mine, Meg Roberts, who some of you know, we were actually folding laundry on Christmas Eve and talking. And she said to me, as a dear friend sometimes says, Deborah, there's something missing from your life. You need to figure out what your heart wants and go after it. And in that moment, I knew that what I needed to do next was study to become a spiritual director. I enrolled in a part-time 2-year program in spiritual direction through the Jubilee Institute. and in combination with the Vancouver School of Theology, and I became a spiritual director. I'm about to tell you. Spiritual direction is having deep and meaningful conversations with someone about how the Holy moves through their life or doesn't, or exploring important questions like, what do I really believe? Or how do I understand the meaning in my life? And doing the work of spiritual direction was and is incredibly rich and meaningful to me. It allowed me to grow in confidence and self-awareness, and it was the right thing for me to do at that time. In there is something called a singing bowl wrapped in red. Can you take that out? And if you hold the bottom of it with one hand, that's right, and it's a little bit harder to go all the way around, but if you just hit it once and then we'll listen, lovely. So this singing bowl is something that I use to help focus the mind, to quieten the inner chatter, and to bring our attention to the present moment. It's something that I will use in worship services here, in small group ministries, in small groups, even in board meetings maybe, and in spiritual direction sessions with people. So as much as I valued the work of spiritual direction, there was still something in me that was restless. I had put ministry on the shelf and closed the door, and I didn't think that I was going to be coming back to it because I had all these reasons. I was too old. That was a big one. Probably not smart enough. I couldn't leave my job. I had to raise my children, etc. I had a great big long list until I met somebody. It was actually at a CUC conference, and she was rooming with me. And this was a lay chaplain, another lay chaplain from Montreal. And we were very similar. Lay chaplains, she had two children, she was a single mom, she had a full-time job, but she was enrolled in a theological school that allowed her to work and do all those other things and study part-time. And even better than that, it was a Unitarian Universalist theological school called Meadville Lombard in Chicago. And so I went, and opened up that cupboard door and took off the shelf something that I had with great difficulty let go of many years before. So I enrolled, they accepted me, and for the last 5 years I have been studying part-time, full-time at Meadville Lombard in Chicago, online, in my own home, and once a year for the month of January I would go and live in Chicago and study on the ground with the professors and with the other students from all over North America. And we saw earlier my master's degree that I just completed. You know, if there's a lesson in this for me, I have to turn to my father, which is appropriate for Father's Day. My dad is the poster boy for slow and steady wins the race. He would say to me, keep your eye on the goal and set your own pace, and then just take one step at a time. Don't pay any attention to the people that are zipping by you or the people that are behind you. Just take one step at a time. I think there's a picture of my dad in there. Can you see that? Fantastic. Thank you. My dad is now 90. There you go. Okay, and now, of course, my mother, I can't leave her out. Some of you might know her by reputation. She also had a little bit of an influence on me. She's a woman with a large desire to make this world a better place. Did you get my mom in there, too? Oh, brilliant. Okay. She is a builder of companies, of communities, and buildings, and she is a connector of people. My mom taught me to think big and to not give up. Oh, yes. Finish what you start. That was important. I must admit that over the course of the last 15 years, and especially in the last 5 years, there were many days, thank you guys, many days when I wanted to give up, when the pressures were just too much. I longed to have a normal life where I could just putter in the garden and bake and read only and simply for pleasure. But you know, it wasn't my mom or my dad or my partner Theo or my children Casey and Lucy or all my dear friends who supported me through some of those dark and difficult times. Not really dark, but stressful, difficult times. It wasn't just them. There was something else deep inside of me. A desire, a pull. Some might call it a calling. That wouldn't let me give up. Perhaps this is what we call the calling to ministry. You know, my call to ministry, I think, well, I have to say my first curiosity about ministry began when I was in my early 20s. I was going to the University of Regina, studying psychology, and I was well taken care of by the small, tiny Unitarian Fellowship in Regina. They sent me to the CUC annual conference, which that year was in Thunder Bay. And I, at 21 or 2, was leading a workshop on women's spirituality. I remember this distinctly, I was sitting on the train next to a nun. And as we crossed the country, I felt that we were on the same track together, this nun and I. When I got to the CUC, I talked to the Reverend Chris Rabel, who was the keynote speaker that year. And I told him about my, more than just curiosity, told him a bit about my life. And he listened and he said to me, well, it sounds like you are already doing ministry in your life. Interesting. But it's fascinating the tracks that our lives take, because at that moment my life actually went on a completely different track and went that way for quite a long time. I must say, though, that the things that we learn in our lives are never wasted. And although it seems as if for a while, I had these two very distinct tracks in my life. One track was spirituality and religion, and the other track was theater, drama, and the arts. They have now merged, and they now fully complement each other. The theater, in my experience, can be a holy place. And church can be a very creative and joyous, even dramatic place. But both worlds are infused with the human journey, the stories and the struggles of our human life. Both worlds depend on human creativity and ingenuity. And both worlds have the potential for transformation through the direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder of which we are all part. And for if you don't know, that is one of our sources, the eighth source. And in there, you'll see a mask that represents, I actually wore this mask in a show once, the drama. What's interesting, just a sidebar here, is that in the early days of theater in Delphi, the actors would put on the mask of the gods and become the god. That was at a time when drama and religion were completely fused. But we here must be careful that these two things are also distinct. For if we only come to church for entertainment, we're missing the point. By all means, Let us sing and dance and have a fantastic time. But we mustn't forget the depth that we seek, or the solace that we yearn for, the insight that we need to navigate those rough waters. Beacon is a church, right? It's a liberal religious church. And it is here to encourage, for one, exploration of ultimate questions. So you may very well have the expectation that I have something to say about ultimate questions. Maybe even theology. Theology, the study, theo of God. Now, when I say that, I do not want or desire even to enter into a conversation about whether there is God or not. What that does for me is it is an invitation. Okay? It's an invitation to explore what you and I and we here together might come to know as ultimate mystery. It could be the exploration of what we name as sacred, or perhaps an examination of what our deepest, deepest values are. I began wondering about things that were ultimate when I was quite young. Actually, I was 13. Any 13-year-olds here? There you go. There you go. So when I was 13, I was in the Okanagan, and I was standing on Lower Bench Road. Anybody know where that is? And looking up Okanagan Lake. Beautiful, beautiful, clear blue sky. And I heard a deep and profound silence that seemed to me at the time to be unlike anything that I had ever heard or known before. It was far more than ordinary quiet, or so I experienced it to be. It was a thing different from all the things that I had ever heard in that day. At 13 years old, I paid attention. I noticed, I stopped and listened, and I began to wonder. I wondered what this silence was that was so subtle, yet so different from what I had heard before. I don't think I ever talked about it to anyone for about 20 years. And yet, it was this silence, this experience of this deep silence from that time until today has been traveling with me and part of my life. I've missed it when I haven't paid attention to it. I've missed it when my life got really too busy, filled with business. And frankly, there were years when I paid no attention to it at all. This silence became for me an indication of a mystery. How could something that was nothing be so profound? Was this God, I wondered? I say that the deep silence became an indication of a mystery. Because when I listened for it, when I heard it, when I felt myself internally connected to it, I felt a profound communion with a greater sense of reality, a deeper reality than that was also part of everyday reality. I know this silence, and yet I can't fully comprehend it. That's also part of the mystery. To know something, to be able to experience something without being able to fully penetrate it and know it in my brain, or at least not from the left hemisphere. There are some pictures in there, a whole bunch of pictures. Yes. So you could each take one of those or two and walk around with them. Pictures of different theologies here. In my journey to get here, I've studied many theologies. Off you go. And I've been engaged and enlightened by many of them. from the wisdoms of Taoism and Buddhism, Christianity, Hinduism, Judaism, from earth-based religions, and from sciences and philosophies and art. I'm especially intrigued by the intersections of where these, where these come together, as if they go down one track and they go so far that they intersect with another. For example, where science intersects with religion, or where philosophy intersects with art. For all the words I've read and for all the theologies that I have studied, for myself, what makes the most amount of sense for me and has the greatest impact on my life is when I walk in the woods or I sit on the beach in nature and I listen for that deep silence. So in the coming year, I look forward to talking to you about theology, about ultimate things. I look forward to many conversations and explorations about what makes sense to you. Conversations about what has been your profound moments in living. Conversations about your doubts and your misgivings. Conversations about your insights and revelations. All these conversations I look forward to as we build a respectful and caring community. Respectful and caring community for me is the foundation for a beloved community and for shared ministry. I look forward to sharing ministry with you. Chopping wood and carrying water. Setting up the chairs and making the coffee and sitting on a committee could just be ordinary tasks. But they become spiritual practice, or they become ministry, when our intention and our attention is focused there. So that when you're setting up the chairs, you're setting it up with the intention of building a caring and respectful community. That's what I mean, and I look forward to talking more about shared ministry with you. I'm also interested, as you can probably tell, with the here and now. Not so much about the past, not so much about the future, right now, us. I'm interested in us here building our own tracks, okay? Our own beacon tracks in the direction that you want to go in. Sorry, I got lost here. I'm making a choice to go on or to stop. In the direction you want to go and build with your, I want to build with your questions about theology, your questions of reality, your yearnings of your heart, your hunger for meaning and for connection, your passions to heal this world and to make it a fairer and a kindlier place where our children can grow strong and courageous. And on the way, let's have a good time. Those will be the tracks we make, right? Those will be our own, made with our own hands and our own hearts. As T.S. Eliot says, and I can't talk about beginnings and endings without bringing T.S. Eliot in here. He says, what we call the beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from. That's so apropos for today, right? To make an end is to make a beginning. So I would suggest we have to fully end. So I ask you, and I'm not asking for you to say this out loud, but just to simply think for yourself, have you ended this year? Have you ended for Beacon and yourself this last year? Is there something left to do? Someone left to thank? Someone to ask forgiveness of, or to give, or to forgive? And of course, I don't mean just in this church, but also in your greater life as well. The end is from where we start. I've ended my internship, and I've almost ended my initial training. Almost. It's the alerting us to the end. The last station for me on my particular track to ministry is going to what's called the Ministerial Fellowship Committee, or for short, MFC, which I go to at the near the end of September. Part of my ending was the ending last week of my 9-month internship in Port Townsend, Washington. And I must give great and deep thanks for all the people both there and in all the other places in my life who have blessed me and welcomed me, loved me, and sent me on my way so that I could be fully here today with you, ready to begin. I'm ready. So let's get this train moving. What do you think? Oh, just a minute. One more thing here. In preparation for this next trip that we're all going to take together, we don't get together again until September the 9th, officially. Our next official gathering is then, and that is traditionally our water ceremony service. So you will see in there a green bag. Let's pull that out, and you want to bring it up to me here. In here, I have something for, thank you to Laura for getting this together. I have a container for each of you. And what I want you to do, I have an assignment for you. I want you to pay attention to water all summer long. I want you to pay attention to the water that comes out of the tap when you brush your teeth, when you have your bath, when you go swimming in a pool or in a river or a lake. I want you to pay attention to water. And when you come back in September, I want you to bring some water with you. And I want you to feel like you can tell us what water, what you've learned about water, and what does water mean to you. This is an assignment for the adults as well, but you have to find your own container. Okay? Thank you. So I'm looking forward to seeing you all again in September. Here we go. Down those tracks. A little toot, woo woo. Here we go, down those tracks. Our closing words. And I'm sorry if I'm usurping somebody's job here. Okay. So here we are. One big breath together. We're on our way, and we don't know where we're going, but we are going with love. Because we know we can, we know we can, we know we can, we know we can. I extinguish this flame, but not the light of reason, the warmth of community, or the flame of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we gather again. Gentle people, go in peace.